that sounded fine by him. With the bag of bullets the Outlanders gave him, Daffer could damn near drink himself to death. Sometimes at night, it was almost enough to stop the nightmares and make him sleep. Pulling close a chair, Daffer sat down and continued to disassemble the blaster Lord Ryan had given him for protection. The internal parts were small and his fingers clumsy, but Daffer tried again to take the weapon apart to clean every nook and cranny. A Webley, he called it. Odd weapon. Instead of the cylinder swinging up from the side as normal, the blaster broke apart at the top, the cylinder staying with the barrel. At first it seemed as if the revolver had broken in two, but he was slowly coming to appreciate how easy it was to load the blaster with so much space for his hands. Damn thing was a real hand cannon, too. The fat 44 caliber cartridges were as thick as cigar butts. As an experiment, Daffer tried to load the blaster with just one hand, and a precious cartridge fell to the concrete floor and rolled away. Mumbling in annoyance, he crawled under the table to reclaim the live round. Holding the blaster backward by the barrel, as Ryan had showed him, Daffer now easily dropped in the six rounds and closed the heavy blaster with a satisfying clunk. Aiming it across the room, he saw how the firelight glistened off the blued steel. The forward aiming fin streaked crimson with a dab of paint to make it easier to target. The monster should stop a bear in its tracks, much less a man. The bullet would probably go through the first guy and chill the one behind him before slowing enough to stop, which meant a brutal recoil, and he made a mental note to fire the cannon with both hands, or else he wouldn't hit anything but sky. But even with that minor flaw, it sure as shit was better than his old .22 zip gun. As a child, Daffer once saw a big miner from the Kentuck coal fields take six .22 bullets straight in the chest from a cold heart, and the miner still managed to kill the man, much to the surprise of both of them. The miner lived for years afterward, and finally died due to injuries sustained in a big muti attack in another hamlet. But Daffer would never forget how the big man took half a dozen of the little bullets in the chest and still survived. It wasn't a lesson easily forgotten. There came a soft knock on the door. Standing, Daffer lifted the oil lantern in one hand and the massive 44 Webley in the other. Standing behind the light would make it difficult for others to clearly see him.
"Who is it?"
Strangers in the night were always trouble. His first impulse was to put a round through the door, but he wasn't sure if even the big bore 44 could punch through the pre-dark steel.
"Mildred."
He started forward happily, then stopped.
"Prove it."
There was a short pause.
"Ryan called you armsman in the cabin."
"Damn right he did."
Daffer walked over to throw the two big bolts and pull open the door. Mildred entered quickly, carrying a heavily wrapped bundle in her arms. Daffer spied a flatbed truck outside that seemed familiar. That Kentuck Hunter was behind the wheel. The man nodded at Daffer, and he did the same in reply before closing the door again and sliding the bolt into place.
"Sorry about asking, but a man's got to be careful these days. I heard that lots of folks answered the door and were never heard of again."
Mildred was already across the room, placing her bundle in his lumpy bed. She fussed with the covers before facing him.
"I know. We found most of them."
"Don't sound good."
The physician went to the table and poured herself a shot of red shine. She drank it, and after a pause, slammed the plastic tumbler under the table.
"Oh, it wasn't."
"Another?"
"No, thank you. But by God, I surely needed that one. And we need your help."
Tucking the blaster into his loose belt, Daffer kicked a chair toward her and sat at the table, pouring himself a small dose of shine.
"What's the problem?"
"Overton."
He nodded.
"I understand. Who's in the blankets?"
"Tabitha."
His eyes went wide.
"The Baron's wife? Sweet Jesus, she's still alive?"
"Yes, and carrying."
Glancing at the woman in his bed, Daffer grinned with happiness.
"A kid? Nathan has an heir to follow him? Ah, damn, that's great. That's why he didn't fight Overton. The scum sucker had his wife and babe hostage."
"Worse. A lot worse than that."
Daffer raised a hand.
"Don't want to hear. Only cloud me with anger when straight thinking is needed."
Mildred regarded the man with new respect. Nathan chose his security chiefs well.
"What do you need?"
He pushed the drink away. The lantern shone through the shine, casting red lights across the man, as if he were painted with blood.
Hide her until the fighting is over.
Because you're going to be much too busy to care for a pregnant woman, eh? Consider it done.
And this is for you.
She laid a long wad of cloth on the table. He frowned.
You saved my life back there. I don't want no payment. Won't take no payment. I owe you. Besides, Nathan be the best baron we ever had.
Fair enough.
She touched the wrapped item.
But this isn't payment. It's a loan to help you do the job.
Curiously, Daffer unwrapped the layers of cloth and recoiled when the AK-47 assault rifle came into view.
Black dust.
He reached out a finger to touch the autoblaster, as if he couldn't believe it was really there. Then he jerked his hand away.
You can't be serious. This is for barons, not sergeants. And you folks going to need every whep if you're going against Overton and his blue boys.
We have enough, and better than this.
Then Mildred added a lie, knowing the honest man simply wouldn't accept the priceless weapon as a gift.
And we damn well want it returned afterward, or it's your ass, friend or not.
Fair enough.
He lifted the weapon as if it were made of fragile glass, already filled with cracks. The balance was excellent, and the stock fit snug in his palms as if the machine were made just for the sheer pleasure of chilling.
These adjustable sights?
Yes, the little screw over there.
I see it. Then spare clips?
Mildred placed 3 full magazines on the table, the curved metallic boxes smeared with blood. Daffer made no comment at the sight.
You got to show me how to work this thing. Wheel guns and bolt actions are all I know.
Over the next hour, Mildred ran through the basics with the man. Already a seasoned fighter, he learned quickly.
Short burst, you say. Don't ride the trigger like a runaway horse.
Beginner's mistake.
Mildred checked on Tabitha. Her pulse was good, breathing easy and regular. The mother-to-be was simply asleep.
Burp the rounds unless there's a whole gang of people, then pull the trigger hard and move the barrel fast in a sideways figure eight.
A what?
Dipping her forefinger in the shine, Mildred drew the figure on the tabletop.
See, like this.
Leg to head, then again. Oh, I got it. Smart.
Standing, Daffer rested the heavy assault rifle on his shoulder and experimented, dropping a spent clip and slapping in a reload. The fireplace crackled loudly, filling the hut with waves of warmth. Tabitha moaned softly in her sleep. A pebble hit the floor, and Mildred dropped into a crouch, blaster drawn. Going to the door, she slid the bolts and peeked outside. The truck was gone, and a squad of SecMen in blue shirts was going from hut to hut, kicking open doors and checking the occupants at blaster point.
Overton?
Daffer awkwardly held the AK-47 in his trembling hands.
Let's send them to hell!
There are way too many.
Mildred glanced around the small fortress.
Is there another way out of here?
Nope. Except a chimney.
Got a cellar? A back room?
Don't even have windows.
Frantic, Mildred walked to the wall and kicked it resoundingly with her steel-toed boot. The material neither shook nor dented.
Damn, damn, damn!
The guards were a minute away, maybe less. The truck was gone, as expected. There was no sense in everybody getting captured again. She might escape alone, but then the blue shirts would have Tabitha as a hostage again, and Daffer would be killed on the spot. They could lock the door and make a stand, but one ran down the chimney and they were toast. Mildred glanced at Tabitha, lying on the bed, softly sleeping.
No.
The physician started undoing her blouse.
The bastards aren't going to get her away from us. Strip.
Daffer blinked and almost dropped the blaster.
Hey? What was that?
Mildred dropped her shirt and undid her bra with one hand, while struggling with her belt buckle.
I said strip, man, if you want to save Lady Carter and her babe.
Next to go were her beaded plaits. Standing on the dark street of the Ville, Christy motioned for Ryan and the others to advance into the fortress. They raced past her, and she stayed behind to cover their rear. Satisfied nobody had spotted them, Christy started to casually walk toward the drawbridge to make sure their escape route was kept open.
Hey, you there! Red!
Icy adrenaline flooded her body at the cry, and Christy turned, her AK-47 leveled. A platoon of blue shirts was running toward her, armed with long blasters, wheel guns, and Grens. One large man even carried what resembled a flamethrower, a hideously deadly weapon at close quarters.